Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Going to read today from Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, text 14. Here's the verse, and you can chant responsibly, please. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityashah tasyaham sudabhakpartha nitya yuktasya yoginah ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityashah tasyaham sudabhakpartha nitya yuktasya yoginah. Translation: for one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. My apology for not being able to speak Telugu. I can only speak English. So apologies. Hopefully many of you are engaged in the Bhakti Shastri classes, the systematic study of Bhagavad Gita and other devotional texts that are offered by the temple here. And maybe by my speaking, you'll be encouraged to enroll. This is an advertisement for the course. Please enroll if you're not enrolled. A little overview of the earlier chapters of Bhagavad Gita. We'll start with that. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has described several systems of yoga. Krishna starts with Sankhya Yoga. Chapter 2, Sankhya Yoga, where he's teaching the difference between matter and spirit. The soul, that's us, we belong to the category of spirit. And there's another category of matter. We don't belong to that. So that's Sankhya, analyzing matter and spirit. And after teaching Sankhya Yoga, Krishna teaches Buddhi Yoga, also in chapter 2, second part of chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita. How to be very, 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 very fixed with your intelligence and then in turn your mind and senses upon the ultimate goal, Krishna, he describes. And then Krishna describes Karma Yoga, detached work, working without attachment to the fruits of work. Karma, Pala, Tyag, detachment from the fruits of work. And then Krishna begins disclosing about himself, knowledge, transcendental knowledge about himself, the goal, the one unto whom everything is to be offered. The fruits of your work are to be offered unto Vishnu or Krishna. Yajna vai Vishnu. The teaching is there. And then Krishna teaches Dhyan Yoga. Multiple systems of yoga. Each one having some potential. The purpose of them being to lift the consciousness of the soul through the lower modes of nature to a higher conception of self-realization ultimately the supreme destination. And the end of Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, so that's the first third. There's 18 chapters in Bhagavad Gita. 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals how many? I'm asking these boys. 18. 6 plus 6 plus 6 makes 18. There's 18 chapters in Bhagavad Gita. 6, 6, and 6. So at the end of chapter 6, Krishna says, Arjuna, of all the different possibilities of elevating activity, by all means be a yogi. And then he says, of all the forms of yoga, what is the best? And what's the best? Madgate nantaratmana shadhavan bhajate yomam. Two things. Madgate nantaratmana. Mind completely upon Krishna within. Antaratmana. Fix your mind upon him. And shadhavan, with faith. Bhajate yomam. That person engages in devotional service. Mind always upon Krishna, activities dedicated to serving Krishna. Best of all systems of yoga. And that ends the first six. And then chapter 7 begins. Krishna makes a promise. His promise is he's going to explain to Arjuna how to fix your mind upon him with completely always absorbed in his service. How to do that is the subject matter of the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And we're on chapter 8. So that's part of the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So before I go to the message of chapter 7 and chapter 8 before this verse, I want to share something nice. And it's a common sense something. The something is, when you want to make a definition, a good definition of something, it has both an inclusive and an exclusive part of that definition. I'll give an example. Supposing I'm in America and I know somebody is going to India and I ask them, can you get me a mridanga drum? And they say, sure. What's a mridanga drum? So now I have to explain to them something they don't know. Well, it's a drum that has two heads. But not like this, but like this. And the material that it's made of is of clay, not of wood. Because there's coals that are made of wood, and there's mridangas made of clay. And both ends are not the same size. One is big, and one is small. And don't go to that shop because they make very bad mridangas. Go to one of these good shops. You get the picture. The mission is get a drum and a particular kind, a mridanga drum. So I have to explain what a mridanga is, but also what it isn't. They might bring back the wrong thing. You follow. A good definition is both inclusive and exclusive. Now I'll give a scriptural example. Those of you that are enrolled in the classes upstairs here, the Bhakti Shastri classes, will know this one. And those of you that don't, you'll learn it today. In Rupa Goswami's writing of Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada translated as Nectar of Devotion, there's one verse that explains or is the subject matter of the whole big book. And it's a definition of bhakti. That's at the beginning exclusive and then inclusive. First it says what bhakti is not. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Abhilas means desire. Shunya means zero, nothing. Anya, abhilash, shunya. What kinds of desires? Jnana, karma, anavritam. Throw it out. If it's not jnana and karma, what is it? That's what it isn't. What is it? Anukulyena, Krishna, anushilana, bhaktir uttama. That's what it is. It's anushilana. Cultivation of activities that are favorable to Krishna, pleasing to Krishna. Which means don't do things that are not pleasing to Krishna. Do things that are pleasing to Krishna in a mood of trying to please Krishna, following the example, anushilana, following the example, the conduct of advanced souls like Rupa Goswami. There's a definition. Inclusive and exclusive, both. Okay, let's take that nice teaching and apply it to Krishna's promise to Arjuna. Krishna has promised to Arjuna, I'm going to explain to you how to get to that stage where your mind is fixed upon the personality of Godhead and all your activities are exclusively dedicated to Him. So, to understand the subject, Krishna has to define what bhakti is and what bhakti isn't. So, there's mixed bhakti and there's unmixed bhakti. Rupa Goswami did it one way. Krishna is going to do it, same thing, in a slightly different way. Listen carefully. In chapter 7, Krishna, there's verses where Krishna says, there are four types of people that never serve me, and there are four types of people that serve me. And if the four types of people, there's a prerequisite, they're pious. Four types of pious men. Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritinorjuna. Sukriti. They're pious. And there are four categories. And some of them want something material, and some of them want knowledge. So, karma mishra bhakti and jnana mishra bhakti. Chapter 7. And chapter 8, Krishna is describing those that are interested in yoga. I mean the dhyan yoga type. Or as Prabhupada says in the purport of this verse, hatha yoga. Sometimes when we have programs and we advertise class in bhakti yoga, we have to specify very clearly because people bring their yoga mat and bring their yoga clothes thinking it's going to be a hatha yoga class. What else? It happens. Long stories about that. So bhakti yoga is yoga, but it's not hatha yoga. Hatha yoga is described in the earlier verses, because the earlier verses are how to attain the Supreme, and there are those that attain the Supreme by that system of yoga. There's all kinds, it's keeping it very simple. It's very mechanical, meaning there's not so much reliance upon Krishna, it's reliance upon precision of asanas and pranayama and directing the mind in a certain way and leaving the body at a certain time and not at an inauspicious time. Mechanical. It's like my effort according to the yoga practice, and one can attain gradually, eventually, if one becomes perfect at this, one can attain Krishna, or one can attain at least liberation. Our acharyas describe it's a Vaishnava liberation if they follow that way. It is called Salokya. What does Salokya mean? Loka means planet. So they attain the abode of the Lord, the Vaikuntha realm. They may, if they become perfect. They also not attain the Vaikuntha realm. There are other destinations for such yogis, depending upon so many things. The topmost superlative attainment described in the verse just before this one, text 13, is yoga mishra bhakti. Devotion that's mixed with a desire for some attainment. And this verse is describing unmixed. Remember what bhakti is and what bhakti isn't? The topmost attainment is there's ananya cheta. Cheta means consciousness. When your consciousness is fixed on nothing else, nothing else but one thing. What's that one thing? Attaining. Whoops, just I can't read telegram. Nitya yuktasya yoginaha. Nitya yuktasya means they're desiring or aspiring for, their intention is attaining Krishna's association. Now, how can you attain Krishna's association? Answer, by serving him. By serving him favorably. By serving him favorably with love. Priti Purvakam. There's a nice verse in the 10th chapter that's referred to in the purport. Tesham Satati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamu Piyanti Te. Very nice verse. Krishna says those who are Satata Yuktanam, very same language as this verse, Ananya Cheta Satatam, always. Yomam Smarati Nityashaha. So there's qualifications. One is Krishna alone, Ananya Cheta. Another qualification, always, not sometimes, not intermittent, sometimes not. Always, Satatam Nityashaha, Yo Mam Smarati Nityashaha, where their mind is always absorbed in Krishna. Same as what he promised to explain at the end of chapter 6. Mankatenantaratmana. He's fulfilling his promise. At least here he's describing what it is, as distinct from what it isn't. Not mixed. Ananya. And it's always Nityashaha Satatam. And then in the third line, Tasyaham Sulabha Partha. There's Labha, and then there's Durlabha and Sulabha. Obtaining is something that's very difficult to obtain and something that's very easy to obtain. Why is it that if this first qualification is met, Krishna is very easy to obtain? Here's what our acharyas describe. Tasya means to him. It's a generative case of grammar. So literally, it means I am attained by this person, which sounds like, but it's, so it's not. This is why it's sulabha. It sounds like one is the doer. I, you know, like You want something. Supposing it's time for prasadam. The class is over. Now it's time to go take prasadam. So you get up and you walk somewhere wherever prasadam is served and you sit down, you get prasadam. It's something that you do, at least apparently. But our acharyas explained that's not what's meant. There's some grammatical rule that's not what it means. It means that when Krishna sees, oh, he has such affection for me, or she has such affection for me, they're always wanting me. They're always wanting my association. They're always anxious for that and striving for that, and for that reason their mind is fixed upon me. Oh, I'm so indebted to them. I will appear before them. And if there's any obstacle, I'll remove the obstacle. Yay! Krishna removes the obstacle. And they're doing their sadhana, I'll make their sadhana perfect. I'd like a show of hands. How many people here every day on your beads at your home you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? How many chant? Many, many, almost everybody. How many will raise their hand and say they have no problem keeping their mind fixed on Krishna when they chant their japa? How many can say that? Not as many. What makes the difference, the gap between our wanting to fix our mind on the holy name and being able to? The answer is right here. Sulabha. Tasya sulabha partha. Why? Because Krishna has this wonderful quality of bhakta vatsala. Bhakta vatsala means he's very kind and affectionate upon the devotee. Because the devotee is directing their affection to Krishna, Krishna considers, oh, they're calling my name. Let me go protect them. Let me go show myself to them. Let me remove their obstacles. Let me help fix their sadhana and their minds upon me. Striving like that with devotion, that's the sulabha part. It's really easy. Here's a multiple choice question. Which is better? A, your effort, or B, your effort plus Krishna's help? Real easy. Bhakti alone, unmixed bhakti alone, brings unlimited assistance from Krishna, and thus sulabha. Tasyaham sulabha partha. He's the swift deliverer of the devotee who is trying. You may be down here and the goal is up here. We know what that's like. Like, you know, chanting with full attention. We know that we should do that. And it's offense to be inattentive. We know that. So we're striving. Anyone who tries, really, really tries to be attentive, there's this realization, I can't do it on my own. It's not that I can't do it, it's I can't do it on my own. Krishna, please help. And then Krishna's help comes. And that's very nice. Then it's bhakti. It's not just being the agent of devotional service or the doer of something. That's material consciousness. Devotional consciousness is, we're the servant. Krishna is the master. And the servant is lovingly trying to serve the loving master. And Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very kind. Oh, is Krishna so kind? When you read Srimad Bhagavatam and hear the various ways in which Krishna is so kind, it's very easy to place your full confidence in Him. You don't become lazy or complacent. No, you become enlivened and enthusiastic to serve such a wonderful master. I'll give one example out of 5,000 examples. Here's one example. In the what caused, you know, the Ajamila story? Anyone here not know the Ajamila description? Ajamila? Some don't know. Ajamila was a brahmana who had become fallen. He became fallen because he saw what a brahmana should never see. He saw a prostitute and a shudra drunk doing their dirty business. He saw it and he became attracted to it. He tried to get it out of his mind. He went back to his home and chanted his mantras and did his puja and did all his brahminical duties, but his mind was absorbed in what he had seen. Eventually he, by just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, by contemplating the objects of the senses, you develop attachment. And when attachment comes, the mind becomes bewildered. And when the mind becomes bewildered, intelligence is lost, and sure enough, Ajamila went to visit the prostitute. And not only went to visit the prostitute, he became attached so much to the prostitute that he brought the prostitute to come live with him in his home with his Brahmini wife and mother and father. And they were disgusted. So he left with the prostitute and cohabited with the prostitute for the rest of his life. He lost all of his brahminical quality and became a very sinful man without all the detail. And at the end of his life, the Yamadutas came to take him away. And when he saw the Yamadutas, they were so frightening, very fearful looking, sharp teeth and disfigured faces and bodies and ugly as anything with ropes, and they put the ropes around his subtle body and started pulling his subtle body out of the gross body to take him to the court of Yamaraj. He was filled with fear. And in that condition, he called the object of his attachment his youngest son, who, by the influence of Supersoul, he had named Narayana. So he called his son Narayana. He wasn't intending to call Lord Narayana. Very clear. What's his little baby child going to do to help him in the face of death? It wasn't rational, it was emotional. Narayana. Then there's a verse that says, Lord Narayana, matihi, means he considered. Oh, he's calling my name. I must come and protect him. So he then sent, explicitly, he sent the Vishnu Dutas to go and protect him, his agents. And the Vishnu Dutas came and said to the Yamadutas, stop! Release this man. And the Yamadutas said, who are you? Who has ever stopped death? We've never heard of this before. And we said, well, we'll tell you who you are, who we are, but you tell us who you are. We're Yamadutas, we're the agents of Lord Yamaraj. And it's our duty to fulfill the order of the Lord of Death. Yamaraj, he sent us here to take this sinful soul, so leave us alone. Anyway, in this verse, listen carefully. Ajamila, once again, he wasn't intending to call Narayana. He simply, unintentionally, is called Sanketya Namabhas. Sanketya Namabhas. It's a shadow of the holy name. Intending something else, he called Narayana. But Narayana became so moved. Oh, he's called my name. I must give him protection. I'm the protector of my devotee. He wasn't a devotee. Then our acharya's reason. What to speak of someone who calls intentionally? What to speak of someone who calls like this? Ananya cheta satatam. Yo mam smarati nityashaha. Tasyaham sulabha. Krishna comes. Krishna intervenes. The strength and superlative potency of Krishna beyond our own frailties and weaknesses and shortcomings and, you know, all the things that aren't good about ourselves that we know very well, and especially the people that live with us, our husband or wife or family members, they know our weaknesses even better than we do. But whatever they are, Krishna's a greater strength. Here's another quiz question, A or B. Which is stronger, A, darkness, or B, light? Light is stronger. Wherever there's light, darkness is dispelled. Light is stronger. So which is stronger, Krishna or Maya? Krishna is stronger. So call upon Krishna sincerely. Call upon Krishna. Not mechanically. Sincerely, call upon Krishna. That's what we're hearing in the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So if you want more detail on how to come to that stage where your mind, madgatenantaratmana, shadhavan, bhajate yomam, come to the Bhakti Shastri classes. And then you'll learn. And you know what? The first time that you attend the class, you may not understand it so well. No problem. Take the class again. And after the second time, you may not get it. No problem. Take the class again. I was just hearing from some devotees that have studied now first canto Bhagavatam, they're in it for the third time, or Bhagavad Gita, they're reading it for the third time, studying in class. They shared, now I'm starting to get it. Things that I didn't understand before, oh, that's what it meant. And then it goes inside, and you start to live your life seeing the world in a different way. You see, as Krishna sees. Shastra Chakshusa, Jnana Chakshusa, just by hearing and in the association of devotees, hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Exactly what it says in the verse. Yomam Smarati Nityashaha. And Krishna will help you. It's not just your effort alone. If it was your effort alone, you might as well pack it in and call it a day. The material energy is much stronger than us. But with Krishna helping us to approach him in a loving mood, sulabha, very quickly and very, very gracefully, Krishna just picks you up, carries you in his arm, and carries you to the right place. There's still an effort that we need to make. We strive to act according to the codes of theistic conduct and the teachings that are given to us in Bhagavad Gita and other devotional scriptures. come and study those books. And if you can't find the time to come and study, take the books and study them on your own, at your home. But you'll find you'll learn much more if you study together with the other devotees. Last point, this Sulabha is different than the Yoga Mishra Bhakti. In the Yoga Mishra Bhakti, the previous verse to this one, there's a description of one can attain Krishna's planet. But attaining Krishna's planet, just like here we are, there's a lot of people in the courtyard or of the temple. We're all here, we're at the temple. But to be here at the temple and to have intimate, deep love for Krishna, that's another attainment. So Krishna's indicating this entering into one's eternal rasa or relationship with him, that is the stimulation to attain his association. Nitya yuktasya is the meaning. Nitya yuktasya, attaining intimate association with Krishna in one of the principal rasas. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, the direct rasas of relationship with Krishna. That's what Krishna is offering here. And by careful reading of Bhagavad Gita, especially in the company of qualified devotees like our teachers here at the temple, you'll learn so nicely. Just last, in the purport, there's a reference to a verse from Katha Upanishad. Same message. It's actually in both Katha Upanishad and Manduka Upanishad. And it goes, Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vrinute tanum syam. And the translation is, the Lord is attained by that person alone whom the Lord chooses. He reveals his own form to that person. You can't reach Krishna or be in an intimate relationship with Krishna of loving service unless Krishna invites you in. If Krishna invites you in, you're there. So we need to qualify ourselves by purity and by desire, follow the proper standards, and inside have a desire to attain him, and by Krishna's mercy, in a descending manner, Krishna will reveal himself unto that person. Let us become like that person described here. By cultivation, by careful following of the devotional teachings. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.